Hey.
Log Talk Radio.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's flow. They follow each other on the wind and know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
I think I'm going to stop right there. Welcome, everybody. It seems that Michael decided to take a chill pill during that song, so it's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
Deborah, you there? You hear
I'm
me?
I'm here, hon.
Hi, welcome. This is
Thank you.
This is an angel that I met on the internet on Facebook that mirrors for me the best possible, you know, experience, because every time she posts something, I think it's me. So it's really cool, and that's what it's about. This show's going to be about that. It's going to be about the man, the woman in the mirror. And so I'm sorry I interrupted you, Deb. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, no, it's great. I'm just grateful to be here and be joined with you and just feeling the love and being the love and just really and just enjoying the moment.
I was saying, I don't know, to somebody, and maybe it was on last week's show, I don't know, but I said, you know, how bold and how blatant an arrogance I am to say that I'm a nander of love. And all I ever wrote was be love to everybody. No, be love, be love. And then all of a sudden, be love, you show up, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's such a beautiful manifestation of what I really feel that we need be in order to see that in our reality. So tonight,
yeah,
what I wanted to talk about was, you know, it came through me that it would be a really good idea to basically talk a little bit about the sacred union, which is what my passion has been for a very long time, but really now, because I really feel like I'm becoming more aligned with who I am as the lover and the loving, and the loved, you know. And so I did start a group, I guess, about 6-7 months ago called the Sacred Union, and that group is just for the higher intent of love. So there's people that write about, you know, higher love, poets, and beautiful high sharings about pure love and, you know, being in love in the body or being in self-love. And then I started another channel called the Love Channel, which this angel that I've known for a long time, Ronna Lee, who I used to work with years ago when I moved to Florida, she said to me, you know, you're love, Ananda. You really should have the Love Channel. So I started it. And then it was the teachings of Abba Ananda, which Abba is the love of God and Ananda is the bliss of God. And so I just felt like that was so in alignment. And I did the radio show for about a year and a half, and I had some issues going on in my life, so I had to stop. And then I had guidance just recently to do it again. So anyway, so what I wanted to say is the sacred union. I wanted to really kind of talk a little bit more about that. And what I did last night after you and I talked, because Deborah and I had like a little bit of an interchange last night, just a getting to know you call, so that we kind of feel comfortable. And of course we were comfortable because we're like, you know, together anyway. And so after I spoke to her, all of a sudden I got this, well, you know, what is sacred love? Like, what does it look like? You know? And this is what came through to me. And, you know, I want you to maybe add something to it, or, you know, pick at it if you want, add to it, dance with it, whatever. And it says, how do you know if the sacred union is secure within you? And, of course, for me, I believe I have to be it to see it. So this is what it comes to. And he, in my perspective, is the male principle or the giver, which I call God. And the she or the her is the female principle, the receptive principle, which is the vessel I call me. So how do you know if the sacred union is secure within you? And it says he wants you as much as you want him. That's number one. You're number one in his life. He is number one in your life. You love being together. The world disappears when you two are together. The sacred union is about creation. Time stops when you're together. He's ageless. You're ageless. He loves you like a loving parent. You love him like a loving parent. Love making is about the body, mind, and spirit. When you make love, every time is like the first time. The bodies disappear. Yes, ecstasy is. Everybody seems seamless when you're together. Everything seems seamless. Magic happens. He's your best friend. You're his best friend. One vision, one goal, to be in love and to fulfill each other, knowing his fulfillment is yours. If this is what is happening in your life, then you can be certain the sacred union is upon you. And for me, I know that, I have to be it to see it. And I know with you, Deborah, I've noticed a lot in your sharing that you talk about self-love. So you want to elaborate on that or add to what I've already shared about self-love, about being in the sacred union again? Anything about that?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, that's what's happened for me is I've just gone through the, you know, and that's what life is. That's the process of removing these barriers that we've built up to love's presence. And what's happened for me is I realized that no matter how I labeled it or defined it or expressed it, what I thought was love, until I could really, really know myself and love myself in the sense of who I am in truth. And that really is God. That, I mean, and I'm not talking about God in a religious context or in a doctrinal context. I'm just talking about source, parent, father, mother, you know, and we just use these words to try to define that which is undefinable. But it is the I am. And I realized that until I really was in touch with the I am of who I am, that all my relationships, whether it be with family, whether it be with my pets, whether it be with employers, whether it be with lovers, whether it be with Earth itself, just, you know, everything, I couldn't be at peace and I couldn't be in the flow authentically. It was that I needed to really be stripped of everything I thought was love, and I thought how love should look, and I really had to drop any kind of judgment. The energy of judgment is just, that is the biggie, just to really drop that. And so single people, you know, this is union. It doesn't have to involve a male and a female, or female and a female, or, you know, like a, it doesn't necessarily have to do with anything physical. It's a it's that union that happens within your own being, and then if you choose to enter a relationship, a romantic, loving, sexual relationship with a partner of your choice, then it's all about the giving. And and then it really comes from a higher place, and I don't know what that looks like, because I haven't chosen to open my life to that kind of a relationship. Right now, I'm just enjoying this merging with who I am, and discovering what that relationship feels like, and looks like, and smells like, and tastes like. You know,
so, absolutely beautiful, and I could not have said it better or more, you know, clearer than you have. For me, I always share that, you know, the in-breath and the out-breath to me is really the sacred union, because if it's balanced, everything works. The body works, the world works. And so in A Course in Miracles, which I know you're a part of, I mean, I feel it. I don't know you at all other than what we've shared last night, but I feel A Course in Miracles in you. And for me, A Course in Miracles has been the most, it's been a saving grace in me through me at me, because when I'm in that space and that connection, I cannot be in this peace.
Amen to that, sister. I hear you. And yeah, I heard about A Course in Miracles, oh my gosh, probably well over 15 years ago, and how it started for me was I had come across a book called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson, and I remember distinctly as I was reading that book that I kept saying to myself, oh, I've got to get this book she's referring to. I've got to get this book she's referring to. And, of course, my life took many other directions and many other experiences that I needed to investigate, I needed to go through. But it came back around in the year 2009, and I was starting to go through some really funky changes, and I ended up purchasing the book. You know, the thought just was there, and I thought, oh yeah, A Course in Miracles. And so I ordered the book in. We didn't have it in our local bookstore, and then it arrived just before New Year's, and I was working in a Legion as a bar steward at the time, and I had gotten it just the night or two before New Year's Eve, and so I worked the afternoon shift at the Legion on the 29th, on the New Year's Eve, and I got home and had my bath, had something to eat, and had my kitty that I had for 17 years, and my good faithful dog, Bear, he's still here with me, and he's going to be 13 years old this year, and then my daughter's cat that now is my cat. So the three of us were together. I lit my candles. I sat down, and I opened the book, and I am telling you, I couldn't get it. You know, it's like the book sucked me in. I just couldn't get enough of it. I just started reading. I didn't know that, you know, there was lessons at the back, that, you know, it's about doing the lessons. I didn't know any of that. I'm just reading this book, and it just starts, the spirit just starts welling up for me, and then it comes to a place where you kind of give this little, you give this little prayer, and I just said that whole prayer with my whole heart and my whole soul, and I just, you know, tears of gratitude, and my life has just been completely turned upside down. And yeah, you know, I went through things that seemed like it was hell. And of course, you know, that's the ego just really trying to hold on. And within a 2-month period, I lost 7 key relationships that I had based my worth in. And I had no friends left. I had isolated myself in such a way, and I'm not talking now from a place of victimhood. I'm talking now from a place of observation. And anyway, I had no one to turn to. I had no one to rescue me. There was no external savior. And I tell you, it dropped me to my knees, and it forced me, literally forced me, to have to go within myself and start to discover my own truth, the truth of the I am. And, you know, like, for instance, one of those things, and this all happened within a 2-month period, these 7 relationships literally being ripped out of my life. And one of them was my daughter, you know, and I've never had any trouble with my daughter, and, you know, which meant my grandbabies, my grandsons at the time. I had 2. And, you know, all of a sudden she calls me up or contacts me, and she just says, you know, that's it. I don't want to talk to you again. Do not contact me or my family again. You know, and that was it. And there was no ands, ifs, or buts, you know, but there was, and I knew it was hell, but I knew I had to respect her wishes, and I fought against it. I was resentful. I was angry. I mean, I went through the whole gamut of emotions and everything. You know, and I just grieved so deeply that I didn't get to see my grandsons, and, you know, all these things were playing out and things were happening, and all these relationship dilemmas and stuff like that. And it really, really taught me that I just really had to accept everything as it was in the moment. I couldn't fight it. I couldn't change it. I couldn't try to fix it. I just had to accept, and I kept hearing the voice within me saying, trust, 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 you know, and And it was hard. It was hard to let go of those parameters that I thought my worth was dependent upon. And then I realized, you know, through this last 3 years it's been, so what, okay, hey, 2009, 10, okay, it's almost 4 years. But, you know, it's just now that it's like I went into a cocoon, and I call it the dark night of the soul. But that dark night of the soul, for me, was a process that lasted, well, almost 4 years. And it's just now that I'm starting to come out of that cocoon and merging as that beautiful creation that the Creator originally designed me to be. You know, beyond all the ego constructs and beliefs and opinions that I had found worth in and created and attached myself to.
Excuse me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to sigh. Oh. That was so beautiful. And see, that's it is, you know, and with the Course in Miracles, it's because it really is about the unlearning, relearning, and then forgetting it all. You know, we go through a catharsis. We go through a death and a rebirth. But for me, it's 20 years in time of continually going through. And before we go on, I want to just, I never do this, but I should do it. I have two Facebook pages. One is called facebook.com/spirit speaks to my heart. And those are daily inspirations with spirit guided comments and expression prose from me, from Ananda. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is now I'm doing the text every day. I'm going through a paragraph of guidance. And that's, facebook.com/course in miracles forum. No A, just Course in Miracles forum. And I have a bunch of people that are, you know, participating, enjoying. So, you know, please, guys, who are listening now or archive listeners, check those pages out if you're into Course in Miracles. You'll love it. And I wanted to go into this really quick because it was just, everything is just so completely connected. You know, people say synchronicity is about, you know, whatever, a coincidence and wow, you know. But for me, it's just a revelation of my mind, always. And so... I was telling you the other day that, or last night, I was saying that I had that awakening last week where I had been completely connected to Source. And for me, I call it the giver of all. I was completely, which I hadn't been for years. And I was, you know, in such gratitude. You know, as a child, I was being nourished by the mind that was opening up to God himself, you know. And with that, I just grabbed the microphone and I started recording, and I did it for like a half an hour. And then when I played it back, there was nothing but a real loud screeching sound, which I realized I have no idol. This is knowledge. It's direct. It's for you. Don't look to. You don't have to share it. All you got to do is be it. Anyway.
Yeah. Yes.
I wanted to share. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. It breaks up every once in a while, but it's pretty good, Ananda. It's pretty good.
This came out through April 6th, and this is really what I wanted to talk about tonight, what came through about the mirror concept. And what I share here, if those in your what I call the first band of awareness, and for me, those are the people that are in your periphery. They're your neighbors, your employees, your coworkers, whatever. So if those in your, what I call the first band of awareness, are not well, frightened, or just not okay, it is reason to look within. Why am I seeing them as such? As bodies, we have a habit of looking in the mirror and seeing that which surrounds us rather than the body we wear. And I don't know about you, but as a female, I can't tell you how often I've physically looked in a mirror and avoided certain body parts. I've asked my face, what beautiful lips, I love my hair, great feet, legs, whatever. But when it comes to certain parts, I can't look. And it's because if the world is in fact our stage, or if the world is a mirror, and we're looking at everything else but ourselves, we're really not in the moment. We're really not accepting what is, which is what you were basically talking about, to come to that state of realization that I am okay here and now. Whatever is meant to be, and I'm not going to judge it, you know. anyway, so what I go on to say here is, so we then put focus on the surroundings rather than the eye in the mirror and completely lose sight that there is a mirror. This is where Al gets caught in Wonderland. Perhaps
yeah.
time for me to look at me, to see me as I appear to me. It's amazing when I see this and when I do this, what happens. The more I see me, the less all else appears. In fact, all else disappears when I only see me. And then I suggested that whoever read that to give it a try, to see the power that you behold, make you what you want to see, and all of a sudden the world you once knew becomes your wildest dreams realized. And I always share this, but I've had everything I've ever dreamed of. From the time I was a little girl, I always had a separate mind in that I didn't buy into the patterns. I didn't believe mommy and daddy. I didn't believe the doom and the fear and the whatever. I was always rebellious. And
mm-hmm.
everything came to me very easily, you know. So at
yeah.
this point, you and I believe we're at a very similar stage in development, you know. So you're reflecting for me. The Course in Miracles would say love the one you're with, basically. Because as I am is my experience. So if I'm seeing you and you and I are resonating in such a beautiful tone right now because we're really in agreement. And that doesn't mean we're right and nobody and everybody else is wrong, but we are in agreement right now. And that
mm-hmm.
means the truth. Everything should be peaceful in our body, mind, and spirit right now because we really are aligned.
Yeah, absolutely.
What happens when that goes away, Deborah? When you lose that, how do you see it in your world? When you lose that connection,
I just missed a part there. When you lose the connection with Source,
lose the connection with your peace tone. You and I basically are in the same space now, and you know, there's
yeah.
a little bit of interference pattern. So we're not completely congruent and completely authentically who we are, because otherwise we'd hear each other perfectly. But let's assume right now that you are in the same state of being and we're vibrating in the same, you know, love frequency.
Right.
What does it look like to you when that stops? In your
Well, I it's all about really having no beliefs, no intellect. And I mean, we have these things that we have to sort of function in this world and in time and space. And yeah, there's no judgment of that. But in the essence of the truth of who we are, it really is beyond all of this, the mental constructs and the parameters that we've
yeah.
Created. And I don't know, what's up?
No, that was just a feedback. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just finding that for me, it seems that it's a lot about simplicity and letting go of all of the high intellectual, airy fairy stuff that's out there, and just not judging it. There's nothing wrong with it, but just being an observer. But really, when things do arise. It's always about going within and asking that Holy Spirit within is, what does this mean? Because we, otherwise we're caught in the five sensory ego body thought system. And that is not where the truth of who we are resides. It's beyond all our thoughts and all our beliefs and all our discussions and our talk and everything, and it really truly is in that silence within that is so vast and so loving. Today I had
online. What's your area code?
604.
That's you, baby. Okay, I'm sorry, go on.
Okay. I've been finding that I wake up in the morning, I never plan things anymore. I mean, there's little projects, like my brother, I'm helping him build a deck and things like that. But I mean, I don't really plan what I'm going to do in the day. My life is very simple. I live a very frugal life. I'm not working right now. There's no pressure. I'm comfortable. My rent's paid. My bills are paid. You know, it's really, I just have done as much as I possibly can to really simplify my life and just to get rid of external stuff, which is a reflection of getting rid of the stuff of within me that isn't truth. And I mean that in the sense of hanging on to that the idea even that I need to be in a relationship in order to be a part of society, you know, because we do this to each other in the sense that with this collective belief system that, you know, if you're not wealthy or if you're not talented or if you don't have so many friends or if you don't have a lover and if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're really not a part of society. And I just don't buy into that stuff anymore. You know, I don't live my life to please others. Although in that comes when you really truly are in tune with the truth of who you are, all that comes out of that place is a desire to extend love, just to give love, not for the getting and not for the gaining, but for the giving. And it's just such a great blessing, and the humility, which is not a shame based thing, and not a lack kind of thing. It's just the gratitude is so amazing for the simplest, absolutely simplest things. I tell you, and every day is an adventure. Every moment is an adventure, and it's so important to step out of our story of the past and the story of what we would like the future to be, and just really to bring ourselves into the moment we're at. And and we can do that with anything that we are in. You know, we can either hear or see or even our own breathing, whatever it is, but we can bring our focus out of that matrix in the mind into presence by engaging with something that is here in this moment now. And I'm just so open and I'm so grateful. And today I got an email from my daughter, and it sounds like, you know, and I was telling you, in 2009 she told me, you know, she doesn't want me in her life and that. Well, I got an email from my daughter today, and so we may be getting together tomorrow. So that, and we're taking it, like she said, slow as molasses. And you know, I just keep saying, it's okay. There's no expectations. You don't owe me a thing. You know, she's my daughter, but she doesn't belong to me. She's her own soul. She's on her own soul journey. And so all I want to do is just embrace, support. I don't want to control. I don't want to direct. I don't want to tell anybody how they should live their lives. It's their trip, and I honor everyone's trip, no matter what that is.
That's beautiful. And, you know, for me, coming to a place of realizing that no one can be in my life that isn't in me, you know, that everything
True.
That I see and everyone that I don't see is of me. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost absurd to argue, to judge, to have opinions, because I am bringing in what I am in every moment. And that doesn't mean it's good or bad or whatever. And that really puts me, as you said, in that humble state of knowing that I am the maker of everything. If I intervene, if I intercede, if I get in the way of God, if I allow myself rites of passage in front of, let the ego take charge, then I'm going to see parts of me that are in distress and struggling and whatever. But if I truly become the humble child of the Most High, and I allow myself to be given what it is that I, on some level, still don't feel worthy to receive, because as much as I celebrate and I'm in gratitude, you know, my world right now is, for me, very much alone. But yet that aloneness is the vessel, the pureness of being. dreaming that's allowing myself to be given dreams that I couldn't even imagine some realize. And that might be, as you said, that momentary experience with that hummingbird.
Or, yeah.
You know, just turning your head and just looking at, and you know, I have moments with water bugs. I mean, I share this all the time and people freak out, you know. Or I just smash a red spider and it dies and I'm sobbing like a dope, you know, because I know that there's nothing out there but aspects of me projected, if I'm an extension of love, you know, extension of God's love. And so for me, I don't see a society. I know I am it. But then so are you in your perceptual world, and so is he in his perceptual world. And to honor my space is to be in peace and to love. And I don't have it all the time. I mean, I'm living with a man, my father, who is not in present moment. He's in the maze, you said, and he said me that is holding on for dear life and saying, please don't let me go. And I'm saying, but I have to. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love with life. I want to breathe. I want to dance. I want to sing. And that aspect of me is ready to die. Or that aspect of me can't be with me because it's not ready to fully experience the adventure of life in the true sense. Of course, the miracle says the only real reality is God, is love. Everything else is made up. It's make-believe.
Yeah.
Believe that that's real, but it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's really what I, now we got probably about a half an hour to go, and there's some people in the chat room. If anyone wants to call up and talk to us, it's a good conversation, and that's what I got today, which I really love. I want to open the airwaves, you know, for people who really haven't gotten to talk like this on Facebook, who really haven't had the opportunity to share their love and to share their experience and really open the lines as if it's a conference call. So anybody that wants to do that, or anybody struggling right now with something that they want to work through, you know, a personal issue, or maybe a block. Wow, I can't get rid of this no matter how much I try. Or how do I stay in the present moment, you know? And for me, it just is a way of life. I mean, I don't really have any thoughts. I share this all the time, and, you know, people laugh, but people in my perspective reality, which just mirrors of me, you know, but I actually have no thoughts. It just happens. It's just in the moment, and I speak, or I see it, and it's on the paper, or, you know, it's just really amazing to not have a monkey mind.
Yeah.
But I know it, by the way. I'm chatting. Because I love to speak. I love to sing. And you, and that's another trip, because that's what you
that's what I did today. Did you see my recordings? I posted on my Facebook. I have this program you can go to. You can actually go to it. It's free, but you're only limited to so many songs on the free membership. But I love singing. I have no talent. Like, I have no training, no professional. I don't know how to read notes, any of that stuff. But I love music, and I love singing. So I'm on this, it's called singsnap.com. And so I signed up for a year membership, and I was singing my heart out today, and I'm just, you know, and that's just, I just love it. You know, it's just, it raises me in, the energy, the love, and I say, Holy Spirit, express yourself today, express yourself. I step out of the way, you know, and it's not that I'm a separate, that there's two aspects to me. It's just that, you know, it's about learning to surrender everything and just let the expression be. Let that be what it chooses to be. And so I always open that door and just say, go for it, let it be, you know. And I'm learning to do these things for myself, because I know when I'm doing that, when my whole purpose and my whole focus is on that primary relationship, that relationship between creator and creature, which is, and really, it isn't a dual relationship, really. It is just that one relationship, and really, it is that creator manifested in every single thing we see throughout time and space, so that able to know thyself, so that God, love, life can know thyself. And so we are these aspects that seem, that appear fragmented and separated and stuff. But in actuality, in the essence of life, there is only one life. There is only one love. There is only one being. And we're just all like, sort of like that hologram, you know, you take a slice of a hologram and the original imprint of the original hologram is in every single slice that you take off that primary hologram. And that's what we are. We're just different vibrations, different angles and twists and turns of that same one being in full expression. And, you know, we can just, we don't need to judge anything. We don't need to condemn anything. We just really, it's about non-resistance, non-judgment, and non-attachment. And when we say non-attachment, that doesn't mean that we don't love. It means that we don't find our worth in we give the glory, we give all of the glory to that one being, and so we just allow, we just let everything to be, and we love more fully is what happens when we don't attach, because we have the ability just to let everything be as it chooses to be. And yeah, you know, there are going to be things that we're more attached to, and you know, maybe a loved one's gonna say goodbye, you know, let the body down, and yeah, we're gonna hurt, we're gonna have those grievings and those, and absolutely feel those feelings and experience those moments, and know that it is just all about love. It is just love wanting to know itself, and we get through this. We get through this together by, you know, embracing others and being there for others and not doing it because we're going to get anything or because we're going to be spiritual or we're going to look holier than thou. It has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with being authentic, just being authentic. And whatever that is for you is okay. It might just be, you know, something very, very simple. It's not complex. It's not grandiose. It really is very, very simple.
Right, and it's not about me. It's about the source of all being, and I'm a goblet. I always say I'm a goblet. You know, it fills me with what I want. It wants for me to drink, and I either do or I don't. I can spill some. I could whatever. We do have a caller from 772, which is my area. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the line. If you want to talk, please do. If not, just say hello, okay? So let's see who this is. Hello. Let me just see if I can get this. Hello.
Hello. This is Sandra. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sandy. How are you, love?
I'm fine. I found what Deborah and you were saying to really hit home. And I was just listening. I can ask one question quickly and see what you both think. If you believe, and I think that I'm being awakened more now by what's going on in my studies and everything, that a disease in your body is caused by a lack of self-love, or that you're not nurturing yourself, that you're consciously not trying. I don't know. I feel sometimes I've filled in for everyone in my life and I've abandoned myself, and I'm trying really hard to get back on track, but having not really illness, but different disease things attack. And you personally know what's going on with me right now with the replacement of a shoulder, things like that.
What I want to say to you is,
yes,
it's not about consciousness. When it comes to this habit, I pull that spider. Allow myself to outward. I'm giving strength, power. is in place. The more that I buy into that, the more I'm caught in that web, and when I'm caught in that web, something. So it's almost like it happens. And it's possible to act viewer to actually watch the music. And that's what I do, and that's my page, which I should share, I never share. It's mindending.net. That's where I teach people to listen to So now with you, with the show, that you Sandy, to take care of
you. Yeah.
So what has to happen to you?
Something differently than what I'm doing now.
But under normal circumstances, as when it's the daughter, when it's the son, the body, because all really will take me from I want to heal. How
do you... I'm going to have to finish listening on the web because the transmission is so bad I can barely hear you right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. But, yes.
Deborah, do you want to hold on to that? Do you want to go back to that?
Yeah, I had a hard time hearing, too, because there's a lot of interference going on. But what I wanted to say was what I've discovered to do with dis-ease and health and stuff like that, what's really come home to me is that all manifestations. So, you know, I don't have the answers as to why these things keep happening, but for instance, like with my husband, my second husband, and he got the cancer, and we went through that journey. What came out of it?
Danny, I'm going to put you on hold, honey, so maybe that's the interference, but you'll be hearing. So stop. Go ahead, Deborah. Finish, honey.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is that I think we just have to stop trying to look for the good times all the time. And you know, it might appear like it's a bad thing, but it really, truly isn't. Really, there's a gift there. There's a gift within that situation. And whether it appears as disease or illness or whatever the situation is, there is only love in underneath all of that. And so really, there's a gift there that can only be gained through the experience of what that is. And, you know, so it's not a bad thing in the sense of even if something comes and the body can't maintain it anymore, you know, the body, you know, is gone. You know, and we perceive that as the ultimate scary thing, you know, this thing about death. And I just think it's all gifts that we're given to be present in the moment. And so, you know, maybe we're going through something. Say a diagnosis has come down the pipe, and it's a life-threatening diagnosis, you know. It's an opportunity for us to get our affairs in order. It's an opportunity for us to really learn to drop what is unimportant, to really get more in touch with our own self within our own being. It's an opportunity to develop more authentic relationships with those close around us. It, you know, I mean,
And there is so much grace in that whole experience. If we can let go of our judgment that this is a bad situation, and if we can let go of, running from it or rejecting it or berating it or negating it, and just let it bloom, let it blossom into what it's going to be, there's so many gifts there. And really, it is all of our opportunity to transition this physical identity, this physical life, in a conscious, awakened state. And so, you know, we're going to be having these experiences. We're going to be going through these things. So I don't think it's that we're doing anything wrong if we get disease.
Wrong. It's when someone is in physical pain and they cannot make peace with that. And you're absolutely right, because, I mean, I came to that awareness this week that, you know, there is no good or bad. I mean, everything ultimately is for the ultimate good of the perceiver, not even the world around it. But I am is definitely what's supposed to be. And everything is already, which we talked about, you know, the free will last night, you and I, whether it is or not. But when someone is in such physical pain, that is the body, that is the self looking to detach from God. That's the self wanting, the ego screaming, I want your attention. I want your attention. And what's happening here, because I happen to know Sandy well, and she's a very spiritual lady who spent her whole life knowing that God's fingerprint is in everything, you know. So the reality is that when we come to realize that we don't have to be in physical pain, and you're perfectly right, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. But the mere fact that it's taking her attention away, it's all about attention.
Mm-hmm.
So me, what I always tell people in that moment is to come to the present moment and remember the love of giving birth to that child. Remember fragrance that comes from that rose that's just so sacred to you. And it really is about these tools that we have. I should say I carried around this big stack of, you know, metaphysical tools, because I was there to try to kind of help aspects of me that were lost. But to really bring myself continually back to, because what we're seeing is not usually a conscious decision to be sick, or a conscious decision to lose a husband, or a conscious decision to have my child hate me, but it is, like you said, all part of the evolution itself.
Mm-hmm.
What is in physical pain, it is really a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call, go back to love, which you said so eloquently, so I'm just adding my part of it. But to go back to love, Sandy, and that means loving the you that knows the God I am, that knows the feelings and remembers the feelings of seeing miracles in your life, and taking your physical malady and putting it in perspective and saying, this is just a burden that I'm holding. I need to bless it and love it. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearing last night, Deb, about clean. Of course, everything in our absolute world is about me cluttered or cleared. And again, I want to complicate it. I want to say I can fix it. It's never outside in. For me, there's no remedy outside. And the Course in Miracles says we don't have to ever die, because in truth, we are living in simultaneous reality here and now, infinitum. It is ever present reality for us. And here I'm happy, there I'm not. Here I'm thin, there I'm fat. It doesn't matter. But my attention determines my outcome. But because I feel I've come to the state of God realization, I don't have to even go to attention anymore. Because the God I am, the giver of all, graces me and crowns me with the remedy. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. And you know, we have this in this thing called life. I mean, sure, you know, we experience it as if it appears that the body is dying, right? That's what these are, things that are appearing. But the thing is, energy, which we are made of. That's what we are. We are light. We are energy. We are the thought of God. We are the love in manifestation of God, God's love manifested. And so we aren't what we appear to be or what we think we are in these physical bodies. This is just a school, if you want to call it that. And when we let go of the body in love, when we let go of this attachment to this physical realm, we just transition to go into another a dimension, or whether we choose to come back and learn some more of our lessons in physical reality, which is not reality, but it's the expression of the soul gaining these experiences. And we have this body, which is a learning, teaching device, in order to have these five sensory experiences. And it all serves a divine purpose. So
it's important that you said that. I'm sorry but to interrupt, but it's just coming to me that the whole concept of the body is a learning device. You cannot see God without having an aspect realized. I had last week Jorde, the artist, who to me is the closest that I've come to my own experience as a creator, because since the time I'm little, I mean, anything I was told to do, sing, dance, direct, play, paint, poetry, whatever, it just keeps coming to. And he's just like, he just doesn't stop, you know. And he is a clear channel for God. And he now, you know, I'm hopefully, you know, with, I feel like I inspired that aspect in him that needs to channel, because he's got so much that wants to come through writing, you know. Anyway, the point I'm making is that for me to truly understand that it's not ever about another. It's never about a body. It's never about anything but the spirit of being God. And Jesus the Christed One, the Advanced One, whoever, he transcended. He hung the body up. He let himself, he hung up his clothes, and he transcended the physical limitation of body, and he became spirit. We are spirit, Sandy. That's who you are. Transcended. Come to the state of realization that I am one with the source of all being, with love, with guide, with healing, with help. And if you choose to have help, then have it. If you stay in the, dwell in the experience of what we call pain, then have it. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. But for, I remember being in classes early on when I teach Course in Miracles years ago, and all of a sudden I would get this headache that I never got. And I would talk, I'd go into the experience with my students, and I'd be saying, I have this, like, crazy experience called a headache, but I don't feel any pain.
Yeah.
I mean, actually saw myself absolutely, possibly entering a state of agony and stopped myself. And I did it many times, as a lot of people know on the show, you know, broken leg. I mean, I haven't been to a doctor in 18 years. I don't believe there's anything outside of me. I don't even believe there's a leg. I mean, I bring myself back to the space-time knowing that spirit is I am. Body is not who I am. You know, and sometimes it does, like you said, the human experience takes a little bit of effort. I have to recapitulate. I've got to I love that term that Ruiz uses. I recapitulate. When, you know, you go to that state of remembering, I am spirit. I am loved. I am the child of the Most High. And I used to do this all the time as a mantra, because I was so full of light. And to sustain myself in a body, I mean, I'd be walking with people and wanting to be, I'm giggling and a foolish little girl. I mean, a woman who's a little girl. And I would just constantly, the mantra would be, I am the light of the world and the heir to the kingdom of heaven. I am the light of the world. Sandy, you are the light of the world. You are the heir to the kingdom of heaven. You are it. You can have anything you desire, and you know that. So just let it happen, and let it be known who you are, because those old patterns of fear, of lack, shame that you mentioned before, Deborah, are all still playing on the radio. And even if you don't completely turn on that channel, there's still static, and that static playing, you're a fool, you're an idiot, you know you're not good enough, whatever enough. And those programs are the only thing that keep us physically oriented. So if we stay present and we realize, I am love itself. I am love self. I am it. And I used to use this term, loving, the vibration of I am loving me. I am loving me. Loving. I mean, every cell in my body is dancing when I say that word. So whatever I have to do to go back to the receptive principle called the child of God. And so the parent, the healthy part of me, takes me by the hand, takes the ego by the hand and says, little girl, I love you. Come on. I'm going to show you how to get back to love. So the ego isn't my, I don't battle with the ego. I don't tug a war with the ego. I become its parent. And then my parent, the giver of all, takes us both where it infinity wants us to be. And
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to open the call. We have like 5 minutes. I want to open the call, see if you got anything from that, honey. So I'm
okay.
Going to open.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, her phone got disconnected.
Okay.
That's coming from, and you know, for me, I think that, and the only reason I want to do this show is if there are aspects of me that are still out there, you know, screaming in pain, and a lot of people are very lonely right now in perceptual reality, and
you
I don't
bet.
Want to feel that they don't have a right to call and fight a little bit, and let's make peace a little bit, and go back to love a little bit, and a lot of bit. So anyway, we have 4 minutes left. Deborah, is there anything that you want to share before we close, like a message to give out to humanity, the aspects of us that are just dying to hear it?
Well, you know, it really is just live your life, you know, because really what's happening is, you know, it's not that you need to do something in order to be something. You already are the love of God. I mean, that's who we are. And so, you know, just whatever's happening, you know, you just do your best. Just do your best to always remain as loving and accepting as you can. And, you know, it's going to be okay. Everything's okay as it is. And you know, we don't need to stress out and judge others and say that, you know, it's got to be done this way and it's got to be done that way and there's only this way and there's only that way. No, the path is yours. The path you are on is the perfect path for you.
Without a doubt, I thank you for that. I thank you so much for being the angel that you are that reflects for me, the most beautiful angel that I really feel like, you know, we're kind of connected really so closely. Because everything you shared, I mean, I couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have shown more excitement and more joy and more gratitude as you did tonight. I love you. Thank you for being here. I hope we get to do this again soon.
Okay, sweetie. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really enjoy this, and you're a lovely soul.
You're an amazing human being, and you're an amazing spirit. I thank you.
Hey,
talk soon. Have a beautiful, beautiful night. And don't forget to share the love. Share the love. Have a beautiful night. And don't forget to be loving you. Loving you.
Loving
okay,
you.
Everybody.
Bye, honey.
Bye, love.